Everybody doing all right today? Yes. Everybody's hungry? I'll try to talk fast. Can you listen fast? Is that all right? Is that something we can do? We're going to go, this is kind of just a review, really. So we'll see how that works out. But I wanted to talk about some things and maybe paint some pictures on your heart today. Things that are going to stick with us. And I'm going to talk about three different kinds of Christians, different traps we can fall into, maybe get stuck in. And then how to walk with God and how to be with Him. The first is a Christian that is under the flesh. He's in the law. They like rituals. Paul talks about his life before he became a Christian, about being a Hebrew and a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he was circumcised the eighth day, like he had something to do with that. And just his whole greater than thou attitude. They're always trying to impress someone. They like to be praised by men. They're going through the motions. Jesus says in Mark 7, then he goes, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the rules of men. We read in Mark 10 about a young man, a rich ruler, that comes running up to Jesus, and he asks, what shall I do to have eternal life? And Jesus asks, do you know the commandments? Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, and so on. The rich ruler goes, yes, all those things I have done, you know, since my youth. The Lord says, one thing you lack yet. Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And come follow me. The rich ruler couldn't do that. He went away. The chapter goes on and talks about the rich and how hard it is to enter the kingdom of heaven. Let's get back to another point. What shall I do to have eternal life? I believe a lot of Christians have fallen into this. Fallen into that trap. What shall I do? He knew the law, and he kept it from his youth up. He had been in children's classes at the Torah Saturday school, and they practiced these teachings. And up until now, it was just a process of orderly, controlled things of do's and don'ts in his life. And when it came time, and he stood in front of Jesus, the only one who could really give him eternal life, he couldn't let go of his religion or his riches. I don't care if it's riches, addictions, your old car, your new truck, your dog, whatever it is, we have to be ready to let go and move on with God. When God puts things on your heart, it's time to let go. Christianity needs to stop doing and start becoming the sons and daughters of the Most High. The doing will get done, but with the right heart. Look at 1 Corinthians, look at it. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3. It says, though I give all my possessions to the poor and offer my body to be burned, if I don't have love, it profits me nothing. Yes, we need to evangelize the world. And that will happen because you're becoming living epistles, read and known by all men. We're becoming the light set on a hill, always being ready to give an account for the hope that is within us. We're always going to be doing the will of God if we're becoming the will of God. We just don't want to go through the motions. The second one is Paul talks about it, the foolish Galatians. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now trying to perfect it in the flesh? What had happened? They become born again, they became saved, they repented, and then they started to go through the motions again. The Colossian church went through the same thing, and he rebukes them. He says, what are you doing? These do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which are all based on commandments and teachings of men. I'm going to read Luke 13, 22 real quick. And it says, and he was passing through from one city and village to another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem, to another and teaching And someone was saying to him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? And he said to them, strive to enter by the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter. It will not be able. Once the head of the household gets up and shuts the door, you will begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, Lord, open up to us. Then he will answer and say to you, I do not know where you are from. Then they will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. And he says, I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me. They ate and drank in his presence. We were talking about this today in a Bible study before the church service. John the Baptist had people coming to him. He had the Pharisees coming to him, and he said, don't say that you have Abraham as your father. Because they, you know, they're Jews, and it's like, we're the chosen people. We're good. You know, we got it. And sometimes Christianity does that. And we can do that. I think about, you know, we go on to be with the Lord, and we get to the gate, and there's Peter, you know, and he's checking off names, and like Santa Claus checking it twice. And he gets to us, and we go, yeah, I'm Steve, you know, and he goes, yeah, well, I don't see your name here. No, I went to that Baptist church over there on 3rd Street. On 3rd Street. Yeah, 880 3rd Street. Yeah, you know, with Pastor Brian and Brian Smith. Well, I know Brian Smith, but yeah, you're not on the list, dude. Okay? Yeah, we can't say that. This is a personal relationship between you and the Lord. This isn't about who you knew or who you know. This is about you and your life before Him. I'm going to read Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform miracles? What happened? They had the Holy Spirit. They were doing works of power, right? I don't even do that. What's the deal? What happened? Having begun in the Spirit. The Lord says, I never knew you. Remember the 70 that Jesus sent out in Luke 10? And they're coming back, and they're all rah, 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 joyful that the demons were subject to them in his name. Jesus says, don't be happy. The spirits are subject to you. But be happy and joyful that your name is recorded in heaven. Rejoice that God knows you. Matthew 25 tells a story about 10 virgins. 5 were wise, and 5 were foolish. There's that word again, foolish. The 5 wise had extra jars of oil. The foolish had no extra oil. Then at midnight there was a shout, behold the bridegroom. And the foolish had run out of oil, and they had to go to the supply store to buy more. Then the bridegroom came and took those who were ready into the wedding feast. And when the foolish came back, they pounded on the door, yelling, let me in, by the hair of my... Oh, that's not right. That's the wrong translation, sorry. New American Standard, here it is, verse 11. Lord, Lord, open up to us. Then he says, I tell you, I do not know you. I don't know you. What happened? They knew Jesus, and Jesus knew them. Probably when you're during a ceremony like this, the bridegroom would come to the bride's house, get the bride, and then they would proceed, and it's part of the procession, they would proceed to the groom's house where they'd go into the wedding feast. And so they, doing it at night, they needed lamps, of course. And so a couple days before, they're at the supply store, you know, kind of like 7-Eleven, with, you know, the goat's milk over here in the cold section, and then you had the cereals and Wheaties and stuff over here, and then you had this section with the lamps. And so the foolish go in, they get their lamps, and they go home to work on their wedding dress or whatever they're doing. And the other 5, the 5 wise ones, they're talking and they're excited. They're, you know, they knew this. like we know that the state's coming. And they're talking, and talking about Jesus. He's coming back for his bride. He's setting up his kingdom. And they're talking that, you know, he's probably going to be celebrating. And all the things he's got to do, I mean, he's got to, you know, executions and judgments and given 10 cities to the guy with the 10 talents. And so all these things that a king does when he comes into power. And they're laughing and giggling and going, you know, I hope he's not late. I think he's going to be late. You know, he's got a lot going on. He hasn't had any other fruit of the vine since, you know, for 2,000 years. He's going to be celebrating. You know, remember that time in Canaan? You know, we ran out of wine. He made more wine. And we, you know, it took us 3 days to drink all that wine. I was late for my bread making class. And you know how he is. He stops and blesses all the children. I bet he's going to be late. I bet he is too. I'm going to get some extra oil. Yeah, me too. I'm going to get some. And they're giggling, laughing. They all get an extra jar. It could be that simple. I've heard all the sermons before about, you know, the oil from Aaron's beard, how it flows on us, and the virgin oil, and the, you know, 10W30, you know, from the Christian Mechanic Association of Milwaukee. You know. And Randy hasn't heard of that one. But it's good because I made that up. But he knew him. It says in Galatians 4:9, it says, but now you have come to know God, but rather to be known by God. How is it that they turned back to the weak and worthless elementary things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? We don't want that. We want that double portion, don't we? We want that to be ready. To have that double portion in case things go a little weird. We want to have that overflow of the Spirit. So bow your heads with me. Let's pray. That was the introduction. Lord, we open our hearts. We thank you for this time. Just minister to us. Teach us how to walk with you. Teach us how to open up to you as never before. We bless the word now in Jesus' name. Amen. The third Christian is something that came to me some years ago. This Christmas time. And you know, different seasons, like we got Easter coming, so you're reading about the Passover, you're reading about crucifixion and stuff. So this is Christmas time, and I'm reading in Matthew, the first chapter. Verse 23 goes, behold, the virgin is with child, and shall bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. So when we are born again, if I can use that, the Lord Jesus, we take him into our hearts. We take the baby Jesus into the manger of our hearts. And that's what really makes us a Christian, is Christ living in us. It's up to us now to take care of him, to nourish him, and to see him grow strong. We ask the Lord into our hearts by we're talking about today in Russia, they talk about the time of repentance. Here we maybe say the sinner's prayer. It's that step. The step in faith, that step of our will to say, yes, I want to change. Forgive me my sins, Lord. And I ask the Lord, your son, to come into my heart. You start all over. You start a new life. It's being born again. So we need to feed him. We need to make him strong. First we need to do is feed him the word. 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about like a newborn babe longs for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. It says in Romans that we are no longer to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We want to be in the word, not just to know the scriptures, but that we will, with open hearts, be molded to God's will. As we get into the Word, this process begins. So as the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day. And as we grow from the milk of the Word, we start to eat the bread and then the meat of the Word. Here's a little story. You didn't know anything about dog fighting? Pit bulls, people that raise dogs and do that? I wouldn't recommend it. But the story goes, and these groups of people, they'll have like their own pack of dogs. They'll have 5, 6 dogs. And they bring them, they get them in kennels, and they take them on the truck, and they go out to the woods somewhere or out to somebody's farm or somewhere, and they fight these dogs against each other. And so this guy loads up all his dogs. He takes them. Well, he's going to fight 2 of his dogs against each other. And somebody asks him, he goes, which one's going to win? He goes, that dog. He goes, how do you know it's that dog? Because I feed that one more. Who are we feeding more? Is it Jesus? Or is it something else? The preaching of the word should not be just persuasive words of wisdom, so that your faith does not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. The living word brings the division of the soul and the spirit. The word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. As we partake of the word, the conditioning of the world will begin to fall away. And as a result, our decisions and attitudes begin to change. Number 2, we need to know how to lift up the Lord in our worship. To worship in spirit and truth. Not just singing songs, but that's a good place to start, that's for sure. But in reaching out with all our hearts, reaching into the throne room of God, giving Him praise and thanksgiving for all that He's done. Sing to Him a new song. For in doing so, you'll find a new strength, a new victory. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is wasteful. Well, we know that. Just drink a little bit. And speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, even the Father. Did we do that? It's hard sometimes, isn't it? Making a joyful noise. We make a lot of noise, but I don't know how. We got to... And think about, there's different ways of worshiping. Brian Johnson brought a good word about a year ago about things that we do as worship unto the Lord, and that's so true. But I'm talking about your intimacy, your intimate worship with God. Lift up your hands sometime. Praise God in the mornings. Break out. Say hallelujah. Sometimes we get all shy, because if you do it at home alone, it's a lot easier, let me tell you. One thing, I've got a good friend that we're singing, and he goes, oh no, I don't want to sing. You don't want to hear me sing. And he's probably right, but it's not about me. He's not singing to me. He's singing to God. And God doesn't listen to his voice about what key he's on. God listens to his heart, doesn't he? He listens to our heart. David, when he brought back the ark in 2 Samuel 6, he was worshiping the Lord with all his strength. He was in his tunic. He was probably in his undergarments or underwear or whatever, and just praising God. And he gets back home, and his wife, Michelle, kind of rebukes him for it. He says, it's before the Lord. It's before the Lord. She never had any children. He never really had time for her after that. So if you're in a church somewhere and you're singing with all your heart and just praising God, and you're, here on F sharp, or I don't know where that would be, but and people are like rolling their eyes, you're in the wrong church. If you do that here, out of love, we might take you aside, and Randy will get the duct tape. But, you know, if the dogs are howling and the police are coming with the sirens, yeah, we want to watch out for you. You know, that's the way that works. But that's out of love, and that's different. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. We must be a people that practices the presence of the Lord. Waiting or meditating on the Lord is number three. Take the time to learn that still small voice. He doesn't want a Lord over us. Once again, as the bridegroom whispers to the bride, learn to hear his voice. It says in Isaiah, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow tired. They will walk and not become weary. We want to be led by the Lord. We want to know his voice. For all of you who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We want more than just throwing out a fleece to get the mind of the Lord or the will of God. Yes, that happens when we're babies in Christ. God will give us a sign. But as we grow, that falls away. And as you seek him for his will for your life and your families, he doesn't give you a sign or leave a note on your porch anymore. You have to sit down eye to eye and talk with him. I find when I wait on the Lord, I try to clear all your thoughts. I got my eyes closed when I do it. So I just see it's like a screen there. And then all of a sudden my thoughts are over here. It's like your thoughts are like a butterfly. All of a sudden they're over here again and over here. And you try to bring them back. You bring them back. And that's practicing his presence. And that's so important. And it seems like later when I'm doing something like I'll be driving or mowing the lawn or something, that's when the Lord he kind of talks to me and says something. I go, huh? You know, I'm like Tim the Tool Man, huh? So that's good. That's good. The fourth one is prayer. We ask and we keep asking. We knock and we keep knocking. We all need to learn how to present ourselves to the Lord with humble hearts, yet boldness as sons and daughters, coming forth to petition his holiness, asking in Jesus' name, the Jesus that lives in you. My daughter asked me a while back, why do we got to pray so much? I said, because he likes to hear it. Right? I remember when I first became a Christian, people would pray, you know, like at dinner time, people would pray. Like, what happens if I forget? So I prayed all, you know, for all, you know, I have great faith. So I prayed for all the, you know, blessings for all my meals for the year. I'm safe, you know, it's like a good thing. But no, God likes to hear it. And some of you guys, you know, I don't know if you ever got in trouble for this, but, you know, your wife goes, we never talk. You never tell me you love me. When we got married, 3 years ago, I told you. And that doesn't work, you know. And God's the same way. He likes to hear it, right? Right, girls? I mean, is that, you know, we love to hear it, and God loves to hear it too. This is a relationship. This isn't trying to get brownie points. This isn't trying to get stars on a sticker somewhere. This is about you and God. It's so important. You see that when you read some of the books in the book of Acts where they go to pray for somebody. Once again, because there's so much going on. There's people that pray real, you know, you could drop of a hat, somebody can pray. But the apostles, when they went to pray for somebody, they'd take a minute and pray. And then they go and lay hands on somebody and pray for them. They got their focus back. Once again, that focus on the Lord, on God. It wasn't just words coming out. It was something from their heart, something that was real. So those are four things that are very important in our walk with God. And the other thing that is important is we need to make sure at some point that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is something that we're all taught. We're all, you know, especially here in the in the Baptist church that we're taught about. But I'm going to read, it's kind of interesting, I'm going to read four different ways real quick. We're going to go to Acts 10. This is about Cornelius. Verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words of the Holy Spirit, remember, he gets sent, Cornelius sends for him to preach a word or tell him about what God was going to do. So Peter gets there, he's all these Gentiles, and they weren't Jewish, he was scared to even be there. So when Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, those who were listening to the message. And all the circumcised believers had come with Peter with amazement. And they, because the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also. And for they were hearing them speaking with tongues, exalting God. And then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse the water also, can they? So they baptized him. Acts 18, verse 24. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesians, and he was mighty in Scripture. This man had been instructed in the ways of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, and he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue, but Priscilla and Aquila heard him, and they took him aside and explained a better way, and more accurately, the way of God. So he got baptized in the Spirit. Acts 8, verse 12. And when they believed, Philip preached the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, and they were being baptized, men and women alike. And even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. And as he observed signs and great wonders taking place, he was constantly amazed. Now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had just simply been baptized in the name of the Lord. And this one's going to be more familiar. Acts 2, verse 38. And Peter said to them, repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those are four different ways that the Holy Spirit came and came into people, ministered to people. And sometimes we kind of, different denominations, different people, they kind of put God in their own little box somehow, and you can only receive the Holy Spirit this way. No. You don't put God in a box. God will think of a new box. And the thing is, whatever way it is, we need to be filled. Make sure we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Spirit comes to comfort us when needed, to teach us all things, to convict us, to guide us into all the truth, to help us pray and to testify, to reveal the Son of God to our hearts. Then the Holy Spirit comes with gifts and ministries. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We all need to be asking God for a way to give back to His body, to His church, to our family, community. Let it be in the Spirit, with the leading of the Spirit, not just guilted into it for the children or whatever. Let it be something that's something from you that your heart confirms before you go out and start doing things. This is so important that we're giving back. And it's such a stigma in so many places about the Holy Spirit. And I think a lot of it is because of some denominations and they've kind of let it, get out of hand, I got friends, they call me the flopping fish or whatever. And but no, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit's there as your spiritual guide to help you. Don't be scared. Just ask Him to help you. Ask Him to lead you in your way, the way that you're going. It says that we're sealed in God with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of your inheritance. It's saying God is going to finish this process started when you took baby Jesus into your heart. The outer man's decaying and the inner man's being renewed day by day. Colossians 2, it says, in him we are made complete. Yet, we see our soul, our mind, our emotions, and our body still needs sanctification, still needs to be redeemed. And that's for another day. We'll talk about that later. So, the point of what I wanted to share today was you and God. It's about you and God, isn't it? That's your relationship with Him. And talk to Him. Reach out. Say howdy. Say hola. He speaks Spanish. Don't worry. He loves you. And it's not about trying to get anything done. We're not trying to build a hospital and get more brownie points or whatever. Your relationship comes first, and then all those other things will get done. Everything else will get done. And that's the word for the day. Lord, we open our hearts. We thank you. Trouble us this week, Lord. Trouble us over this word. Let it open our hearts. Let it be something that reaches within us. Let it be something that brings us closer to you. We draw near to you this week, Lord. And I know you'll draw near to us. We just thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.